Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Because, you know, they're not voluntary. Consumption taxes are basically voluntary. You know, I go to the supermarket, most of the stuff you buy there is not taxed, right? But if I buy some other stuff that is not considered a staple, I just know I'm going to pay tax on it. If I go buy a big screen TV, I'm going to pay tax on it, and I can choose to buy that or not buy that. But you just basically, for subsisting and living on your own property, on your own parcel of land, your own home, particularly people that own it free and clear of any encumbrances, you got to just keep writing a check to the government just for the privilege of using your own property. And that's an anomaly. That's not the way good tax policy should be. It certainly undercuts the idea of private property that you own outside the reach of the government.
Preach, brother. Preach, brother. I could not agree with the governor more. This is one of those things where I am you would say almost irrationally hostile to property taxes. Just like income taxes, because they are redistributionists, they punish those who have more for no justifiable reason. But at least with an income tax, you can make the argument that we're simply taking a permission fee for you engaging in the business that we make possible by making an economy safe and functional. You know, it's a performance. You pay to participate in the economy. That's what income taxes are. I hate them. I hate the way they're structured. Everything about them drives me crazy. But they are second in my mind to property taxes, because a property tax is, you know, you buy your house and you continue to pay the government rent for the privilege of doing nothing. You did nothing at all. It's crazy. And in fact, you know, it's kind of funny because you have leases. Like, you know, you can have like beaches, you know, you have leases on land, 99-year lease. You lease your house. What do you mean I lease my house? Well, what happens if you don't pay your property tax? Well, after 3 years, somebody buys your house from you for property taxes, right? You lose your house. You lease your house. Nobody owns their house. Because you pay a fee every year to prevent the government from taking it. That's not ownership. That's leasing. Or renting, depending on how you want to look at it. At least just a fancy word for rent. Well, it's not a 99-year limit. It's an unlimited limit. Yeah, okay, fine. So you bought a house and you signed a unlimited time duration lease with the government, because if you don't pay property tax, they take your house. Anyway, so I'm totally in agreement. And the whole idea of people who have a big house paying more than people who have a small house, that doesn't make any sense either. Okay, so I'm glad that he's talking about this. And his proposal is to take the $5 billion that the House under Danny Burgess has said to give back to people in terms of a sales tax cut from 6% to 5.25%. And he says, that doesn't make any sense. Let's do a property tax rebate. Let's give everybody $1,000 who has a homestead.
Very much appreciate those folks in the House that set that $5 billion target. That'll be more than we've ever done by a country mile. And if that is something that's in the ball game, if that's something that they're willing to discuss, we'll accept that. But we'll come with a proposal to focus that $5 billion on reducing property taxes for people in Florida.
So he's going to give you a $1,000 rebate. It sounds like, I can't tell if it's just going to be a straight 1,000, you know, a one with three zeros, or whether it's going to be, you know, some are going to get 800, some are going to get 1,200. It seemed like maybe he wasn't sure about that. But if you take 5 million homesteads times $1,000 each on average, that's a $5 billion paycheck and a cost to the government. And that's what he says you're going to. It's not going to be that you don't pay your property taxes. It's going to be that Tallahassee is going to send you a check if you paid property taxes. I think maybe some of the wiggle room is that some people might have property taxes below 1,000, you know, because their home is not worth very much. And so he's not going to pay people to own homes, I would think, is where the difference is going to come in. But we'll see, you know, details forthcoming. Anyway, so I just think it's funny because it's kind of a, you know, who can get the credit for the tax cut? Like, is the House going to get credit for a sales tax cut, or is the government going to get credit for a property tax rebate? I mean, I, you know, it's very much to me an ego credit game right now to see how they play this out. The other news of the day, big news, weird news, but at this point, like, you just don't know what Trump might do or might not do. Right? He's done so many things, some of which completely predictable in advance. Trying to shutter the Department of Education. I mean, we've known that for years. Conservatives have been saying that since it was invented in, 79, I think, was the first year for the Department of Education. We have been saying get rid of this unconstitutional branch of the executive branch, Department of the Executive Branch, for as long as I've been alive. Okay? That's not a surprise. Coming in and reforming things is not a big surprise. Caring about the debt was a surprise, by the way, because he did not care about the debt at all in his first term. So caring about the debt has suddenly become a big issue. That was a bit of a surprise, honestly. So anyway, but then things like the Gulf of America, right? Or Greenland, or the Panama Canal, or Canada, closing the border, no surprise. Wanting to make Canada a state, a little surprising. So now the new thing that he has announced that he's done, I guess, I mean, we have to adapt to it, is he has eliminated time zones. I know, it's not anything anybody was asking for, but here's why. He says he hates daylight saving time. He hates the switching forward and back. And he says, look, there's a whole post about this. You can read it on our Facebook page. I don't have time to get into all the details right now, but he posted a thing on Truth Social and said, let's get rid of time zones. Let's get rid of daylight time. Let's go to military time. So instead of AM, PM, which is also confusing, going forward, springing forward, falling back, figuring out who's on which time zone, so when to call them or what happens when you travel, all confusing. AM, PM is confusing. Somebody says it's 12 o'clock. Is that midnight or is that noon? Well, it's confusing. So instead, just make it, 0015 or 1220, and then you know what it is. If you're in the military, there's no confusion over this. And he's calling it, this is the part that is the most Trumpian part, American Standard Time. So Eastern, Central, Pacific, Mountain, and then whatever Alaska and Hawaii are all now American Standard Time. And he's calling on the world to go to the same standard, which means that when you call Germany, it's just, 0900. Or when, the baseball game is going on in San Francisco, this was DeSantis' comment, the baseball game just starts at, 1900, 7 p.m. You don't have to ask what time zone. 437-1620 if you have questions or comments. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Boy, I'm going to need a map for that one.
No, it's really easy.
I know, but still.
It's just the same time everywhere. There's no map. There's no zones. There's no daylight time. There's no AM, PM. It's just when it's 1623 or 1620. We like that number.
Yeah.
When it's 1620 in Pensacola, it's 1620 in Washington, D.C. It's 1620 in London. It's 1620 in Shanghai. It's 1620 in...
Okay.
It's just 1620 all the time.
Right.
Everywhere.
Okay. I got you now.
All the time, but everywhere. It's just one time everywhere, including on the moon, including on Mars, including in space. Like, it makes sense.
Okay. That makes it easier. Yeah.
Even Elon Musk said he's glad to see, the president taking charge of mankind's standard time, basically, which is his kind of weird way of saying it. Anyway, John Pickett's got traffic on the fives.
No accidents right now. Nothing on the big board to slow you down. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Even 98 looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Now, the one thing about that is, it wasn't clear to me if it's in effect now. I think the executive order seems to indicate that it's, in effect now. But, the school district hasn't even had time to adapt, right?
Nobody has.
Because if we're all going to Eastern time, which is now American Standard Time, and he, by the way, he said he did it because it's his two houses, the White House and Mar-a-Lago. Of course it's the most Trumpy thing. I'm almost surprised he didn't name it Trump Standard Time. That would have been even, But American Standard Time makes sense because it's, America. We love America.
America.
But so we're all going to have to move our clocks, ahead. I guess we're going to lose an hour at some point. But we're not going to lose an hour. We're just going to change the clocks because your work times are going to change too. If you're a 9 to 5, it's going to be 8 to 5 or 8 to 4. Everything will just change. And it's going to be rough in the transition, no doubt, okay? But not that rough because it'll become so much simpler. And then everybody will just do it and you won't even think anything about it. And it's actually unconfusing. Like you said, to you, it was an epiphany to realize, it's going to be 1620 everywhere.
Simple.
Done. What time is it where you're at? It's 1620. Now, what'll be weird is 1620 here, 420 in the afternoon here, will be daytime. 1620 in, say, Pakistan will be the middle of the night. So that's the weird part, is that what the time means, daylight or night, you know, is going to be different depending on where you live. But the time itself will just be the time. So, you know, I hate to bring this up because it wasn't in his post. And I don't want to, like, speculate on what he's going to do. But tomorrow is the big trade. You know, he's going to put in all the tariffs.
Oh, that's right.
Tomorrow is the liberation. What is he calling it? The day of liberation or whatever, yeah. Liberation Day. What if in conjunction with the tariffs and American Standard Time and the no AM/PM and all that, what if he announces that anybody who doesn't adopt American Standard Time gets tariffed? What if he puts a time non-compliance penalty on Canada and Europe and Africa? I mean, because he could.
Yeah, he definitely could.
I mean, think like I always try to think, like, if I get inside Trump's brain, how does it work? And no, because you got to always think, you know, give somebody the benefit of the doubt, trying to understand them.
Right.
And one of his, you know, some people think it's outrageous, but he views himself as a uniter. He thinks that winning will unite the country. Okay. So in his mind, he's a uniter, not a divider. And he even said this in his post, what better way to unite the country than to put us all in the same time zone? And really, what better way to unite the world than to put us all in the same time zone? And we don't have that disagreement, discord. Where's the timeline? Where does it bend around this river or that border? You know, all that stuff. The rest of Florida no longer has to know that we are in a different time zone. Everybody understands the sun rises, you know, differently in different places, but we're all the same. I mean, like, it solves a lot. And I see him thinking of this as, I can be the one who saved time for the planet. I don't know. That's and so, in order to become the uniter, he's got to punish the dissidents into, just like, you know, the AP doesn't get to go on Air Force One, doesn't get to go in the Oval Office because they wouldn't say Gulf of America, which I thought was crazy. But now if people don't go to American Standard Time, Germany pays an import tax. Just change. It makes sense, is I think what he has in mind. And plus, he gets to be credited as a guy who invented it. 621 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We'll take your text after we come back. I'm Andrew McKay.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope, from the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
April 12th is the biggest party of the year.
Pensacola Little Theater presents Cabaret of Curiosities, Revelry Reimagined, as the entire building and surrounding block turns into an entertainment complex for one night. The fanciful theme revels in all things magical, mystical, enchanting, and charming as attendees wind through inexplicable oddities. It's an all-inclusive event that includes six open bars and culinary art. Don't miss the biggest party of the year.
Get your tickets now at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Fort Cancer event benefiting the American Cancer Society at Suposi Event Center is Friday evening. Enjoy the food, cocktails, live entertainment, and exciting auctions. See ForkCancerPensacola.org for event details. The 15th annual Navy Federal 5K is Saturday, benefiting the Escambia County Public Schools Foundation in downtown Pensacola. Please see visitpensacola.org. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. The common clay of the New West. You know, morons.
Getting a bunch of texts in. A lot of people have questions about this Trump announcement kind of late last night, early this morning, that we have a long time been irritated at daylight saving time, you know, forward and back. And in order to solve that and the confusion over time zone and time changes and the AM PM confusion, he's just eliminated time zones and gone to American Standard Time for the whole country. Crazy, weird, interesting. I actually kind of like it. It's because it would simplify a lot of things. I know the transition is going to be rough, but let's see. Somebody here says 437-1620. My dad was a naval aviator. We grew up with the military clock. Makes complete sense. Somebody else says the military uses Zulu time as a way of kind of doing this in the military. And yeah, that's true. Somebody says next maybe the maybe the metric system. Too far.
No.
Too far. 437-1620. 437-1620. Let's see. The airline, somebody says, will love the global same time zone concept. Right. You don't have to think about where is the plane landing, what time local is it landing. You don't have to think about converting from one to the other when you're reading your itinerary or anything. Like, everything is just the time. You know, when it's 0720 in Pensacola, it's 0720 in Denmark, and it's 0720 in, you know, Sydney, Australia. It just is that time. And so you no longer have to worry about telling people, you know, what's the local time or anything like that, or especially daylight time. I think I'm on board with this. I mean, it's going to be a shuffle to get there. But I think I'm on board with this. And, hey, look, if Trump's going to do it and he's going to call it standard American Standard Time, I'm good. I'll call it that. Because what else would you call it? It can't be Gulf of Mexico time, you know?
America.
John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Not seeing any delays on Highway 90 or 98. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Oh, somebody just texted in that China already does something like this. They just use one time zone for their whole country, even though it spans like five geographic zones. Is that true? I haven't. I'll have to look that up. That's interesting. They do UTC. What is the UTC? It's Zulu time. It's Greenwich time. Greenwich Mean Time. But plus eight. They said that policy was implemented in 1949 to promote national unity and efficiency. That's it.
There you go.
That's it. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. The Wall Street vet tapped by President Trump to head up the Social Security Administration is going to be put under the microscope soon. Frank Bisignano, I think, is set to be questioned today by the Senate Finance Committee. His nomination faces a lot of scrutiny over proposed DOGE cuts to the agency. More than 2,700 people are now confirmed dead after the earthquake that hit Myanmar last Friday. Officials requesting medical services, shelter, food, and water there. But a civil war and other political problems are making the rescue efforts difficult. Estimates are that at least 4,500 people are injured and hundreds more are missing. And forecasters have some bad news, Andrew. For anybody with seasonal allergies, pollen counts apparently are going to be higher than usual across much of the country this year.
Fan-bleeping-tastic.
I can already tell this is good news for you.
Well, I still don't really – I really don't know whether I, like, caught an illness or just had – but because I got it the first time in, like, December, I wouldn't think pollen would be responsible. I'm actually kind of hoping that it's just a pollen thing, because otherwise I'm looking at, well, you're just going to lose your voice every 2 months. Woo-hoo!
I never had seasonal allergies until I moved here either.
I did, and I've lived – yeah,
and I have
everywhere.
Them year-round now.
Do you?
I do, yeah, absolutely.
And I haven't noticed – I will say this. I, like, cough and sneeze a lot, but I always have. You know, that's just kind of always been the case, but it is more here. And it does seem to be more recently than when we first moved here, and I just don't know if it's – well, you're getting old, or whether it's pollen, or, you know,
right.
Why would you give me eyes like that, John? Why would you give me confirming eyes?
Because
I wished you a happy birthday today. I've been good to you.
I know. Now the beating starts.
Great. The beatings will start until morale improves, and if they don't improve, they'll double.
If it is pollen for you, Andrew, though, the meteorologists say they're expecting the pollen counts to blow away historical averages all across the country this year, and it should be a very intense allergy season that lingers all the way into autumn.
Oh, that's fantastic. No more pollen, please. Yeah, just slather it on me. Oh, it's so weird, though. I will say this, David, thanks so much for the update. When was it? I'm trying to think. It was a couple of years ago, and I went out to my car, and it was covered in the yellow dust, you know, the magical yellow poison, and that makes life go around, by the way. I mean, if we didn't have pollen, we'd have a lot of problems, okay? And I was like, did, like, the plane carrying the sulfur explode in the upper atmosphere? Like, what happened? I'd never seen it before. And if you don't know a thing, you don't know a thing. And I was like, what is this on the, you know, and it's pollen, you doofus. Oh, yeah, sure, I knew that. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, great. More on this. If you want to read the article, I put an article up on our Facebook page if you want to read about the time zone thing.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Today's state Supreme Court election in Wisconsin determines if that court tilts left or right and could be considered an early referendum on President Trump and Elon Musk.
The race has brought in a record-breaking $90 million, at least $20 million from Elon Musk. Voters will also head to the polls in Florida to decide who will fill former Congressman Matt Gaetz and Mike Waltz's vacant seats.
Fox's Brooke Singman. Another survivor is found today. It's up to more than 2,700 bodies recovered from the rubble of Friday's earthquake in Burma.
Aid groups say there's an urgent need for shelter, food, and water. The number of confirmed dead is expected to rise, especially now the critical 72-hour window after the earthquake has passed. Across the border in Thailand, several dozen people are either confirmed or believed dead.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. The UN says 50 children and 2 teachers died in a preschool collapse in Burma. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 63 degrees. It is mostly clear skies here this morning. Golf Breeze is preparing to reopen Wayside Park sometime later this year. Officials say the project hasn't been easy.
Taking control back of the park after Skanska, this being their laydown yard, we found that those structures were almost in complete deterioration.
That is CRA manager Craig Chamberlain. He told Channel 3 the project aims to honor the park's original vision dating back to the 1960s while also introducing more resilient modern features. Officials say the park will include amenities like the pier, boardwalk, and boat launch. It's projected to reopen in June. Neighbors reacting to the arrest of an Escambia County man on dog fighting allegations.
I thought it could have just been abuse or something, or just leaving the dog outside because there's cars weren't there often, only mostly at night. So maybe I wasn't sure the dog was just left out all the time. Then occasionally I'd hear more than one howl.
That neighbor talked to Channel 3, wanted to remain anonymous. The Escambia County SWAT team was at a home on Seamarge Lane and Lakewood Road last Friday. That's where deputies say they arrested 32-year-old Journey Purifoy on animal cruelty charges. Investigators say 6 dogs were removed from the home. They found rundown crates, multiple leashes and collars, and a book on training pit bulls to fight at the home. Purifoy has been released on $15,000 bond. He is due back in court later this month. Governor DeSantis wants to give homeowners some tax relief. He announced yesterday he's proposing a rebate averaging $1,000 for each homesteaded property in the state. The governor says the rebates would cover state-mandated school property taxes. That would ensure full school district funding while easing the burden on families. DeSantis estimates over 5 million homeowners could benefit from that rebate. NASA astronaut Butch Wilmore says he doesn't want to blame anybody for the situation that left him and fellow astronaut Suni Williams stuck in space for 9 months. Wilmore says he'd rather concentrate on moving ahead.
I don't want to point fingers. I hope nobody wants to point fingers. We don't want to look back and say, shame, shame, shame. We want to look forward and say, let's rectify what we've learned and let's make the future even more productive and better.
Wilmore did an interview with Fox News. He and Suni Williams returned to Earth last month after what was supposed to be just a short test flight to the International Space Station on the Boeing Starliner that was extended after helium leak issues with their spacecraft. Senator Rick Scott has an idea that he says would protect American citrus. He introduced a bill yesterday that bans citrus imports from China. He said the United States Citrus Protection Act would protect American jobs, ensure the integrity of domestic agriculture, and reduce the reliance on goods produced by regimes that pose a threat to the U.S. Florida Congressman Greg Stube is backing a similar bill in the House. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Seeing some minor backups. If you're eastbound on 98, just past the Navarre Beach Bridge through Windhaven Beach, some minor backups through that construction zone. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. I personally like back downs. I think it's better.
I do too.
Yeah. 6:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
Drier weather returns for your Tuesday this morning. Temperatures starting out in those lower 60s with mostly cloudy skies. Seeing some areas of patchy fog through about 8 a.m. Heading into the afternoon, filtered sunshine will help temperatures to climb into those middle and upper 70s. Tonight, temperatures drop into those upper 60s and lower 70s. And going into tomorrow, more sunshine's on the way with temperatures in the 70s. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WEAR First Warning Weather Update.
Thank you, Marion. 63 right now in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 61 in Milton. Your next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing the Atlas Beverage Class, celebrating Easter at Great Southern, Fish House, Beer Fest tickets, and Jackson's Spring Menu Rollout tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable? Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world.
We envisioned the equivalent of a mini fleet week. And in fact, we pursued that. But unfortunately, the Navy has specific rules on what can be deemed a fleet week. So we couldn't use that term. Therefore, the term Navy Days came out, in case you all wonder where that happened to come from. The point is, we really wanted to gather and recognize those members of our all of our military. So even though it says Navy Days, it will be for all the services that are here local in Pensacola.
That is Dan McCourt. He is a local military guy, kind of organized. I think I got to know Dan on the McCool, you know, sailship. Anyway, on the McCool event, the commissioning and all that stuff. But he was talking to the Tourism Development Council in Escambia County about an ask they were making for now the second Navy Days. Now, remember, the problem with the first Navy Days was we had horrible weather, right? We had terrible weather, and so a lot of the stuff really didn't happen last year. This has been a big initiative of, you know, like military, and I know, you know, Brent Lane has been involved in this, our sister station, Cat Country 98.7, and, you know, it's local visit, Pensacola and Chamber, and like everybody's in on this idea of having sort of a fleet week. But the thing is, you can't call it Fleet Week. Like, that's, I guess, a kind of a, not a registered name, but it's a specific term for the military, and we don't get to call it that, so we had to come up with a different name for it.
The parade will go from Veterans Park and bring it back down to the Plaza de Luna. Surrounding Plaza de Luna, we have requested and right now look to have several of our maritime ships locally. So right now we've had a commitment from the Coast Guard for five cutters to be down here at Plaza de Luna for that period of time. We've also requested a couple of Navy ships. That's a significant draw for people to come down.
I mean, that would be cool. You get down to Plaza de Luna, you see all the Coast Guard cutters out there, and, you know, maybe other ships. Maybe Austal could sail something over here. I mean, I don't, you know, there's all kinds of possibilities for what this could mean.
It'll be a very, very family-friendly, very public, very fun event with a family fun fest that will culminate all this, which is essentially like a big picnic an opportunity for kids and exposure down at Plaza de Luna.
You know, I always think about these events we have that, and unfortunately, events go away, you know, which is disappointing because you get accustomed to, you know, Pelican Drop. You remember we used to do Pelican Drop, you know, we used to do the Chmukla Christmas Parade, you know, like, you know, back used to do the, you know, there's all kinds of things that evenings in Old Seville Square, right, that were and went away. And then also you have new things that come around. Right? Running of the Bulls isn't all that old, you know? We had the Zombie Run for a few. I don't think we do Zombie Run anymore. Came and went. Mud Run came and went. That was great fun. But everything that happens, it's a tradition, had to start somewhere. And I think Navy Day is the goal. I mean, I know the goal is to have something that's like a Fleet Week light that happens every year where we can celebrate the military and that it becomes such a thing that people begin to know about. I mean, somebody did a first Mardi Gras, you know what I mean? And somebody did a second Mardi Gras, and somebody did a 10th Mardi Gras. You know, so that's what I think of this. You know, what he says, again, the ask here, they were asking for money. Okay, that's what the context of this whole conversation. Dan McCourt, again, asking, you know, talking about what they did last year and what they're hoping for this year.
Projecting something on the order of about 20,000 people last year, in spite of the fact we had bad weather. We had 6,700 people.
With the terrible weather last year, still pulled almost 7,000 people. They're hoping for 20,000 this year. And what they're asking for.
We are asking for $100,000 of support. We have a budget, so that's just over $250,000. We've got sponsorship lined up to support and bring in the rest.
So $100,000 for a tourism event, right? Because it's a thing designed to bring people here from somewhere else. Last year, I think the way this worked is they asked for 50 and got 100. This year, they're just asking for 100 for the project. That's about $250,000 altogether. Mitesh Patel, who's a local hotelier.
From a hotel standpoint, I think I don't support this event. I think there's a lot of folks that are highly respected in Pensacola that are a part of it, and just because they're a part of it, we gave them such high dollars. I wasn't here for the meeting. That's the one meeting I missed. I know you guys came in asking for 50, and somehow you ended up getting double that. You didn't use all of it, thank God. But I don't know how this event gets any better to improve from 100 room nights. And if you get 100,000 or 50,000, that's a lot of room nights that should be produced for that type of money.
Now, I actually don't know that I disagree with the analysis he's giving, but I don't love the tone. How can you be against the Navy Days? Like, how can you say you don't believe in this event and don't think that it's a good idea? I mean, this was like the original inception for this, I think, was kind of a semi-secret come to Broxson meeting. Like Doug Broxson, when he was a state senator, basically gathered everybody together and said, hey, we need to do this. This is a good thing. You know, everybody from like David Baer to the military folks to the tourists, to the commissioners and all that. Well, I mean, probably not multiple commissioners, but because of sunshine. But still, I love the idea. And I believe in the potential of it. It just, you know, we had terrible weather. And then, I mean, I think it's a fair question. Always ask when there's public funding involved, you know, what's the return on investment? Will it make it with or without the money? How much? You know, I mean, those are fair questions, but to say you're kind of against it, I don't know, rub me wrong. Mitesh Patel is always looking out for the interests of the hotels. And if he thought it was going to make money for his hotels, he'd be for it, which is, that's his point. That's his purpose on the commission, okay? That's not criticism. I'm just saying. So from that point of view, I understand where he's coming from. I guess I would prefer to say, you know, hey, I love the idea. I just don't see how it's a ROI for us and how it justifies spending a lot of money on it. That's the thing. But maybe he just really doesn't see it. You know, and if you don't see a vision, then you don't see a vision. What are you going to do? Let's see. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Just some minor delays. If you're traveling eastbound on 98, just past the Navarre Beach Bridge, you're going to see just maybe a 5 to 7 minute slowdown associated there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Somebody texts in, is that Fleet Week going to be in Plaza de Luna? My understanding is yes, but all over town, like from Veterans Memorial Park, parades, events at the Naval Aviation Museum. There's going to be a gala, a black tie gala. You know, like there's all kinds of stuff and a run. But the boats, I think, the ships are going to be at the port, not at the Plaza de Luna. That's my understanding of the plan for this. 437-1620, back to the conversation at the Tourism Development Council about whether or not to give this year's version of Navy Days, kind of like a Fleet Week Light, $100,000, which had been the ask. Darren Schaefer from Visit Pensacola.
My commentary on it was...
And by the way, the board asked for input from Pensacola Sports, Ray Palmer, and Visit Darren Schaefer, because they were asking their assessment, like what they think of the potential of the, which is good. Ask for other people's input on the viability of it.
My commentary on it was that as far as room night generation and the forecast for 500 room nights for year two, that I couldn't justify the ask of $100,000, and said that as far as funding, I believe my comment was up to the $500,000 or $50,000 that was actually requested originally in year one, but that was increased by a council member that is no longer on the council last year.
So he says the numbers justify a $50,000 fund, not $100,000. And remember, this is going to come out of bed tax, out of hotel money, right? Like visitors come and stay in hotels, that generates a bed tax, which pays for things like this that are supposed to promote or benefit tourism in some way. The same fund that has been the big conversation about whether you can or cannot use it for the Chappie James Monument, okay? If that helps for context, if you're not familiar with the TDC. Ray Palmer from Pensacola Sports.
Quite frankly, we would give them, we wouldn't probably give them $10,000 based on our schedule and time of year and all the things that we look at and the numbers that they're projecting.
So compared to like a sports event that they might be more emphatic about, where they might feel like they can justify the numbers, he says that this would, based on their metrics, you know, would only qualify for as much as or not even more than $10,000, let alone the 50 they're asking, the 100 they're asking for, or the 50 that they, you know, had asked for last year. Brent Lane, one of my very good friends and the co-host of the he's the host of the Cat Pack Morning Show on our sister station, Cat Country 98.7. He's a big advocate for a lot of these things. He's very involved in tourism and tourism promotion, sits on a lot of different boards in town.
Patel, I concur. I can't figure out why we would not have more room nights, other than to say, at the point that we get to a week out and have a massive thunderstorm happening that looks like this weekend, and we start canceling events because it got real... I mean, the parade wasn't going to roll with floats. They just were not going to happen. But what can that look like as we go into what I hope will be a beautiful weekend this year? And how do we set that pace for what is happening in year number five? Man, what a great place to celebrate the Navy and all of our armed forces here in Pensacola. And that's ultimately what this is.
And I told that same. Like, I think about 5 or 10 years from now, when this could be a huge annual thing and people come from all over the region to have reunions, you know, because like the connection to Pensacola as, you know, the cradle of naval aviation, Whiting Field as the, you know, the I don't know, the, what do they call it? The kindergarten of naval. You know, I mean, because we train so many pilots. The pilots really get their training, for the most part, at Whiting. But, you know, this area, and if we could do something like this, I could easily see this growing and growing. Plus, you got the museum. Plus, you got Blue Angels. Like, it's a natural. So many people have come through Pensacola, right? Like, so many. And, you know, of course, we got Eglin, and we got Hurlburt, and we got other missions here, including Army missions. I mean, it's just the idea. I love the idea of this. It's just a bummer that last year was so thwarted by the weather that we didn't really get to do a good first test of it. Jen Brer, City Councilwoman Jen Brer.
I think that at most we go with that 50,000. And if we don't want to discuss anymore, I'll obviously back off if anyone wants to discuss something, but I would make that, I would propose that if everyone's done with having a conversation.
I would second that.
And that's Charles Bayer that seconded it at 50. David Bear, who's the chairman of the board.
But what if we get the attention through this event by showing leadership in Washington, D.C., that we appreciate the military and its impact on our community economically and, you know, and all other matters, because they affect our education system, they affect everything, right? And so what if we get their attention and they come here and they see the needs in our community through our military bases?
Boy, I'll tell you, that kind of like soft power, that influence, that show. I mean, we as a pure get people to come here and put heads in beds and fund itself, time will tell whether that's going to work out. But what if we use this as a, hey, come to Pensacola and see how much we love the Navy, and keep that in mind the next time you're thinking about how much you want to give to the missions, how much you want to rebuild the hangars, how much you want to spend on, you know, restoring Pensacola's Naval Air Station or Whiting or Corey or anything else. It's a marketing campaign for Pensacola. It's also a cool thing for veterans and service members. It's also a cool thing for the civilians. It's kind of like we get all of this, and it's hard to quantify that in terms of heads in beds. It certainly doesn't relate that much to it, but, you know, I mean, if we put some money into something like this and it winds up being a good thing, what does that do for us when the next BRAC comes, if it ever does? You know, like, that's huge because we're, you know, not only did we do it, but we did it when it's not even a fleet week. It's a Navy days. You know, like, we can't even use the term, and it still works.
The Navy has a different perspective, and they can't lobby for themselves. And so how do we just get their attention to come here so we as citizens can talk to them, show them we appreciate what they do here in our community? And so I think this event, Navy Days, was created to try to showcase Pensacola and Pensacola's appreciation for the Navy and the military.
Yeah, and I love that about it. And also, you know, Tom Jardine, who's just a citizen, but, you know, he's a friend, he's been on the rap once, twice, I forget now. He is the only citizen who shows up at the TDC consistently. And he rails about everything. He is very frustrated with them. And in this case, he's frustrated in sort of the opposite direction you might think, because he says,
you know, this sort of thing enriches this community and differentiates us from, you know, our competition. We need to, your criteria should be, how are you going to maximize the benefit to the citizens of Escambia County with our bed tax dollars? We shouldn't be worried about how many hotel rooms we're going to get, just how the bed taxes will maximize the citizens' benefit in the long term. That should be our one criteria.
And he liked the idea, so he thinks that it makes sense. So in the end, they wind up advancing it at 50,000, not at 100, and that's just a recommendation. Of course, the county commissioners have to actually approve it. But they thought that the 100 didn't make sense based on a variety of factors, okay? But 50 is what they offered for it. So, I mean, I'm excited about it. By the way, you can find more information at PensacolaNavyDays.com. It's going to be May 9th through 11th. And obviously, as we get a little bit closer, we'll talk quite a bit about this and tell you what the events are going to be. And hopefully, fingers crossed, the weather cooperates. Because anytime you schedule anything in Pensacola in the, you know, spring or early summer, you just like, I hope, you know, I hope. Oh, by the way, two notes. One, did you see how much rainfall we got? Like, the airport was, like, at 5 inches, but, like, Foley was 9 inches.
No, I didn't see that.
Good Lord. And I think North Pace had, I don't want to make up the number. I saw Alan Strum talking about it last night. Hold on. Northern Pace got, like, 6 inches of rain. Good Lord. I thought the picture of PSC at airport and 9th Avenue, I thought that was fake. I thought that picture was a fake. And then a friend, Ellen Scott, he added a Shamu orca jumping out of the water. And I'm like, oh, man, I just hope that orca's safe, you know, gets back to the Gulf safely of Mexico.
America.
Anyway, no, that was real. People were in, you know, a foot of water. Somebody said as much as 3 feet. The Tahoes were driving through it for Pensacola Police. They were to their, you know, halfway to a way up the wheels. Like, it was bad. Because I drove through there yesterday. I saw all the debris. I'm like, oh, my God, that picture was real. I just didn't. And by the way, that is not the only place that flooded. There was flooding all over the place in places you don't normally expect it from Sunday's rainfall. Anyway, 655 News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are looking good. Just some minor delays on 98 eastbound after the Navarre Beach Bridge. But other than that, everything else is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Cops, Cars, and Crawfish is back on Saturday, April 12th. It's a car show and a crawfish boil to benefit the Escambia County Sheriff's Foundation. The gates at Five Flags Speedway open to the public at 10 a.m., and you can bring your family out to wander around and see some incredible cars. There's trophies, door prizes, a 50-50 raffle, a free movie on the big screen, the People's Choice Awards, and, of course, crawfish. The Cat Crew's going to be there. We'll be bringing the fun and games. We'll look forward to seeing you at Cops, Cars, and Crawfish 2025.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in Thursday at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Bands on the Beach is back. Grab a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music each and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. This week, it's Pensacola Beach favorite Christy D and Bad Juju. So grab a blanket or a lawn chair, but don't bring any pets or glass, and get to Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This makes my beer taste bad.
Hey, True, bet that up for the track. You don't take it to the top, and that's the truth. Truth hurts.
Oh, yeah. If you're broke, but you're still pimping, drinking, smoking, then say, oh, yeah.
You know who I've never gone and investigated as an artist is Pitbull.
Wait a second. You have not?
I know the hits. Like, yeah. I know the songs that get into movies or whatever. But I've never gone and, you know, like, tried to listen to an album or listen to other songs I don't know. I think I probably would like him a lot. Because all the songs I do know are great. You know, a little bit on the profanity side, but I, you know, that doesn't bother me. I listen to all kinds of music. So I may have to actually go investigate Pitbull. Are you telling me that as a, because you're from.
Yeah, well, I mean, I lived in South Florida, yeah, so I knew him before he was even big.
Right. Okay.
I mean, he'd come perform at Dolphins and Heat games before he was even big, before
and
he
is
had
it,
even
if
heat.
I go beyond the hits, am I going to find more stuff I'm going to like?
I did.
Okay. All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Trump says the U.S. can expect to see $5 trillion in investments after his tariffs are enacted. Wednesday, new reciprocal tariffs are set to be imposed on Canada, Mexico, China, and the European Union. The White House says that will undo decades of those nations taking advantage of the U.S. United Airlines will be offering Starlink internet service on their regional flights this year. The airline said that they've gotten FAA approval. The first commercial flight of a Starlink-equipped airplane is planned in May. The head of Doge, Elon Musk, of course, also owns Starlink. They say they're going to have 300 planes with Starlink internet by the end of the year.
I genuinely wonder, are, you know, all of the people who are protesting Teslas and whatnot, are they going to be protesting United Airlines now? I mean, all these stupid things that's, you know, benefiting Elon Musk. How dare we?
So, block the runway.
Yeah, block the runway. Let's go lay down on the runway and stop Elon Musk from getting any money.